are scripture. Because there are fears in front of us, I offer to you this word of God as it comes from the book of Acts at chapter 27, verses 9 through 12. And this is what we find recorded there. Since much time had been lost, and sailing was now dangerous, because even the fast had already gone by, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I can see that the voyage will be with danger and much heavy loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. Since the harbor was not suitable for spending the winter, the majority was in favor of putting to sea from there, on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, where they could spend the winter. It was a harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding and doing of his holy word. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider what it is to be a child of God and what it is to have heard the word of God spoken, let us think about risking it for Christ. Risking it for Christ. Sometimes we think we've seen it all. Social media, the television, the internet, and the various news programs have shown it to us. We've seen images of the earthquakes and the tornadoes, microbursts, tsunamis, and the aftermath of hurricanes. We've seen the poor, the homeless, the sick, and the infirm, starving children in what are called third world countries. We've seen the battered and the bruised, the beaten and the mistreated, the abused and the tormented. We've seen pictures of soldiers struggling with post-traumatic stress and disorder, and the lives of families disrupted in the aftermath of shootings that take place on the street, at parades, at schools, shopping malls, grocery stores, airports, and college campuses. We've seen all of the tragedies and all of the hardships that people face because of man-made and natural disasters all over the world. And yet seeing it on the news is never quite the same as being there. Somebody say amen. And not being there out of some sense of morbid curiosity, but being there because you're on a mission in the name of Christ to make a difference in the world. Somehow you've managed to find yourself sitting in the midst of a highly uncomfortable situation because you're risking it for Jesus. We open this small part of scripture as the Apostle Paul is being interrupted in the midst of one of his new church start journeys. Our text defines the time and the circumstances. Paul has already determined that traveling by boat would be dangerous. He's lost a significant amount of time being locked up in a Roman prison, and now even the fast has gone by. Now the fast that he's referring to is the autumn fast of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur occurred this year on October the 11th and the 12th, just as a reference point. So because of the unpredictability of weather, sea travel was not usually undertaken in Paul's time between October and April. But here Paul is. He finds himself, because of the message of Christ, He is sharing with the world, bound up in the prison system of Rome, where he is being sent back because of his message. He's dared to risk telling others about to set sail during the most perilous time of sea travel. Paul is quick to warn those who have him captive that not only is the ship in danger, but so too are the lives of those who dare to bring him back to Rome. But despite the threat to the ship, the cargo, and the life of everyone on board, those who were in charge were determined to push on. And Paul didn't have a choice. He was at the mercy of those who were over him, the winds and the waves that could destroy the ship and everyone on it. But he was also at the mercy of his loving God, who called him to be in this ministry together with his Christ. The scripture speaks to us as a metaphor about what life can be like for faithful and fruitful stewards of God. It talks to us in this case about what is possible. It's not presented here to frighten us, but to help us to know what's at stake when we seriously undertake the work of Christ as a stranger in a land not our own. Gracia and Martin Burnham were serving as missionaries in the Philippines, serving and working in the name of Christ. But in a strange and unwelcomed intrusion, both Martin and Gracia were abducted by jihadists and forced to march day and night over the mountains and hills of the Philippines with little or no rest for over a year. Gracia Burnham survived. But her husband, Martin, was shot and killed by a jihadist during a military rescue effort. There have been other kidnappings in Guatemala and Russia and other countries where people have gone to serve in the name of Christ. Because the reality is that risk-taking mission and service need not take us to the shores of a foreign land. And we don't have to cross seas or climb mountains to find examples of those who have risked their lives in the name of Christ just to preserve the dignity and the lives of their brothers and sisters. We should always remember the names of James Chaney, Michael Schwerner, and Andrew Goodman, three men who were shot to death, burned, and buried in a Mississippi dam, or Medgar Evers, shot and killed in his driveway because he marched for freedom and the right to vote. And we should also remember those others who have been unnamed. We find ourselves at times living and dying for the very freedoms that we say we love and fight for. And so we have to remember those people too, those who remain unnamed, those who lived in our time, those who live after our time. So we have to remember not just Medgar Evers, but Martin Luther King, who died on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. And we dare not overlook the names of Herbert Oresby, or a 14-year-old who was wearing a Congress of Racial Equality t-shirt. Henry and Hezekiah D. and Eddie Moore, both 19-year-olds, and five unidentified men, and the others whose life in Christ and their call to risk it all for Christ in the pursuit of dignity and respect for all men and women was put on the line. The Viola Liotzos, George Lee, Bruce Clunder, Fannie Lee Hamer, who said without risk and without daring to give up the fight. She said, you can pray until you faint, but unless you try to get up and do something, God is not going to put it in your lap. She also said, sometimes it seems like to tell the truth is to run the risk of being killed. She said, but if I fall, I'll fall 5 feet 4 inches forward in the fight for freedom. I'm not backing off. See, brothers and sisters, and the truth is perhaps we should be aware of what's at risk and what's possible. Risk-taking mission is the challenge and invitation from Christ to all of us who set out as disciples and stewards in his name. Let me see if I can put this in a brighter light for all of us. You see, brothers and sisters, Paul, before accepting Christ, was a practicing Jew. More importantly, he was a Pharisee. His entire life, he served as a person set apart from the rest of the people for intentional work in the ministry of God. What that meant is that Paul, for the most part, only associated with other Jews. His life was spent among people with whom he felt comfortable and at home with. His life was spent looking at the world in an us and them mentality. For Paul, anyone who wasn't a Jew was a Gentile and an outsider. But then he met this man named Jesus. And his world got turned around and upside down. He found himself being called to hang around people, both Jews and Gentiles, to tell them about this amazing grace that he had found in Jesus Christ. He found himself mingling among people who were not like him, people with whom he didn't typically feel comfortable being around because they weren't like him. But when he met Christ, when he met Jesus, he discovered that these other people were no different than he was. They too needed the same grace he had found in Jesus Christ. And the similarity among us is most of our lives, at least for many of us, we've spent around people who are like us. They walk like us and dress like us and talk like us and live where we live, buy what we buy, and in many cases, think like we think. They perhaps share the same political views and opinions, and maybe even the same religious views and opinions. And when we are called upon to help those people, for the most part, we have no problem reaching down into our basket of blessings to share the milk of human kindness with them. But if we're honest, we also live with an us and them mentality. And we're not always very comfortable living with those people over there. We're not always agreeable to associating with those people over there. And most of you know my story. I was born here in Kansas City, raised in Kansas City, educated in Kansas City, grew up, played, lived, laughed, and loved right here in Kansas City. Now, occasionally I would make a trip to the country to see my father's cousin, but it was more of an adventurous outing, but not something I desired to do. But then I met this man named Jesus face to face, and he said, if you would be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And I'm going to Buffalo, not Buffalo, New York, Buffalo, Kansas. Not a city, but a very small rural town. It was so small and rural that when people ask you how to get to Buffalo, they say you have to go to the end of the earth, and then Buffalo is 5 more miles. But there were people in Buffalo not like me. Not like me racially, not like me culturally, not like me ethnically, not like me socially. The only thing I had in common with the people in Buffalo was a knowledge of Jesus Christ. I had to risk all that I thought I was to go to a place where I didn't feel comfortable. But I found that a common knowledge of Jesus was enough. Jesus wasn't enough for everyone, but for those who were willing to risk my presence among them and trust God to deliver them from their fears, Jesus was enough. And for this city boy who found himself living among country folk not like him, Jesus was enough. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't necessarily have to go halfway around the world to find ourselves in ministry with people who are not like us. Those people that we sometimes refer to as them, that we feel so uncomfortable with, might be just right down the road or just around the corner from where we live. They're the poor and the misunderstood. They are the people sitting in nursing homes with no one to visit them. They are the people who don't look like us but are still in need of the same grace of God that we've experienced. And the risk we take to be in ministry with them and to them are huge. Because you see, brothers and sisters, the risk we take in mission and service is that we risk loving others in the name of Jesus. But we also risk being loved in the name of Jesus. And with that love also comes resentment, misunderstanding, and hatred. We risk making friends with people who don't look like us. We risk learning new languages and eating foods that don't often find themselves on our dinner tables. We risk hearing other people's stories about almost anything and everything, and we risk sharing our story, not necessarily about Christ, but about who we are and why we do what we do. We risk sharing our lives with people who might never experience God's love through a hands-on experience. And we risk getting a little bit closer to becoming Christ-like. There's a story that author Saul Bellow tells in his collection of traditional Jewish tales. And he says that in this small Jewish town in Russia, there's a rabbi who disappears every Friday morning for several hours. And his devoted disciples boast that during those hours, their rabbi goes up to heaven and talks to God. Ain't that something? One day, a stranger moved into town and he heard this story about this rabbi, but he's skeptical about this story. So he decides to check things out. And he hides and he watches. And the rabbi gets up in the morning and says his prayers, and then he dresses in peasant clothes. And he grabs an axe and he goes off into the woods and he cuts some firewood. After which he then hauls this firewood to a shack on the outskirts of the village. And in that shack lives an old woman and her sick son. And he leaves them wood enough for a week. And then he sneaks back home. And after watching this rabbi's actions, this newcomer stays on in the village and becomes his disciple. And whenever he hears the villagers say that on Friday morning, our rabbi ascends all the way to heaven, and the newcomer adds quietly, if not higher. And that's why we should be in this business of risk-taking mission and service. It's why we should be willing to risk it for Christ. It's out of our willingness to risk loving others for Christ that we grow in our spiritual understanding of loving others and allows them to see the love of Christ at work. It opens up the door of God's grace to others even when they can't return the favor. And there is not greater love or service than that which is given but cannot be returned. So we must risk it for Christ. We have to risk it for Christ. When it's all said and done, Christ will receive the glory, but we'll receive the blessing of having shared the love of God with someone who may have needed to experience it firsthand. We'll be the examples of Christ, the living examples of Christ, risking our lives so that others may live rather than leaving it to them to have to read about it or hear about it without ever seeing it for themselves. Risking it for Christ is an invitation for us to put our uncomfortable position, meeting or being with other people, in the grave where we have died to ourselves and be raised to new life, to risk walking and following Jesus. Risking it for Christ enables us to grow beyond our us and them mentality and grow into people who believe that Christ has put us all in the same boat, that there is no longer any us and them. As Paul has said, there is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, there's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. In risking it for Christ, the barriers of that personal I that separate us from the group them are torn down, and a strong and undeniable community of we is created, inviting us to risk who we are in Jesus' name. It's a risk that we take to reach out to all people who are in need of God's grace. Risking it for Christ opens the door for us to let the love of Christ come out, while at the same time allowing the love of Christ from others to come in. And when that happens, the risk we take for Christ will result in unmerited blessings for us as peacemakers for Jesus, who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth." Risk it for Christ, and according to God's promises, the earth will be ours. The word of God for the people of God.